What we're going to do is we're going to start the discussion part of it now. You know what you know, and we will make your answers available, but not now, unless the connectivity solves itself and Saj is able to put it together. We're going to take 15 minutes. Lee and I will circulate with the microphones, Catherine and Marty will be your main interlocutors for the next 15 minutes. So the floor is yours.
Who wants to go first?
We want us to be interlocutors?
Yes. They're going to ask you questions or make comments.
We thought that the single most beneficial change to humanities PhDs would be lowering tuition and improving the public perception and lessening isolation and de-scoping the doctorate and making requirements more flexible for different students, lowering time to completion, and providing more exit ramps that are not identical to failing out. But we thought that a more accomplishable change might be lowering coursework.
Thank you so much, Heather. Before, just a sec, I just wanted to remind everybody that the names of all the participants are on the website.
Oh, you want me to say something? Okay. Lowering coursework, yes. I think that's an answer I would agree with from my perspective, with a certain caveat. I think you'd want to say, you'd have to think about what you think the coursework is doing. So how does the coursework fit into the rest of the program? Is it supposed to be achieving more texts under your belt? Is it supposed to be achieving methodological training? Is it supposed to be achieving gaps in your knowledge before you could go do your research? But I think in general, one man's opinion. I think there is generally too much coursework at the PhD in the humanities. So if we wanted a way to sort of streamline things, we might want to have the coursework function to do, let's say we decided that the dissertation in its mysterious knowledge and skills it produces in us that allows many of our PhDs to go on and do wonderful things even with a traditional dissertation. We also agree that there's these other things that we talked about this morning, we're going to be talking about for the next 2 days. Couldn't we introduce some of those things before the dissertation in terms of alternative writings? I have a friend at the University of Toronto, and she's in the comp lit department, and she does a wonderful course that's a course for her graduate students in comp lit that is alternative forms of writing, parallel writing, as we talked about this morning. I think that's a fantastic idea. And this is the kind of thing that it will not give you a full understanding or the full skill set, but it'll start you thinking in that way. So then as you approach the dissertation, you already have some tools under your belt, and you don't have to start the dissertation saying, well, wait a second, how am I going to do this alternative thing? You could replace that. You could do some things like internships that Paul has in the white paper as part of the coursework. I mean, I think there's lots of things you could do instead of the courses that would be beneficial. But I do think there's too many, and you've got to understand what they're doing there. And many of them are there only because, this is one of the nasty things I can say as a dean. They're only there because professors want to teach them. And that's a different issue.
Deans reward professors for teaching.
Not at this place.
It's the dean's fault.
That might be true. I mean, that's again, it doesn't hurt to talk about these structures, though, because there are structures that a lot of us imagine that we do things because, we do have an amazing amount of freedom at the university. But we are restrained, and some of those restraints are administrative, structural, and those you got to keep that in mind. You're right. I mean, if you had a place that said, "Yeah, if we have less courses, you're going to have less to do." Well, that is something to keep in mind when you're thinking about courses.
So, a friend of mine refers to what I would see as encouraging the lots of coursework as the upholstery model of education. Coverage, right? We have this idea that everyone has to cover a certain amount of material, right? And I think the biggest change we could make that would reduce the number of courses we're requiring is to get away from the coverage model and start really focusing on, you know, teaching people how to learn, right? So courses like that writing course, courses in research, you know, courses that encourage the students to take what they're interested in and run with it, rather than courses that give them, you know, a survey of medieval literature, which is still happening in a lot of graduate courses. So, but I do think, like, within the discipline, within the many disciplines in the humanities, there are different values around this. So any Miltonists here? I probably took some Milton, but the first time I really learned about how Miltonists think was when we did a job search for a Miltonist. And the Miltonists were people who could immediately pull up some quotation from Paradise Lost. They had memorized all of Milton. You know, and I think it's probably very similar in Shakespeare studies, right? So that was one sort of model of, you know, how to be a scholar, how to be an academic, and that's really different from, you know, the way, say, the 20th century Americanists were thinking. So I think we have to take into account these different models, but still kind of try to shift the balance away from coverage, right, and towards, I don't want to call it skill sets, I hate that phrase, but towards, you know, very sophisticated ways of learning and knowing and creating knowledge.
Julie Cumming, McGill, music. I really think that coursework is the funnest part of graduate school. I'm, as a student, I felt that, and as a teacher, I feel that, and I think my students feel that too, which is you're working with other people. I mean, when you cut down on the coursework, especially in the humanities, and you're spending even more time all alone, whereas in a class, you're learning from each other, you're exchanging ideas, and talking about how to do research, how to learn, well, that's where you do that in a seminar. And especially if the seminar can actually involve the whole group doing research together on a topic that has been under research. And that's possible to do in a seminar. You can say, we're going to look at this. I'm going to send each of you out to develop, to find this information and come back and tell us about it. And then we're going to maybe do a group project together or co-author an article or something. So if you can make the seminar into a real life scholarly experience, then that can be one of the high points of graduate school. And in general, my daughter's about to go into a PhD program in the U.S., and they have a lot of coursework. In Canada, we have a lot less than that, in general,
not if you include the
in the humanities programs.
Not if you include the masters.
Yeah, even if you include the masters.
No, I don't think that's factually true.
Okay, well, we can talk about it later. She has to take 18 seminars in the PhD program. She already has a master's. Whereas here in music, we have 10 seminars if you count master's and PhD. That's a big difference. I think we have about the right amount in Canada, at least to the programs I know. I would hate to see fewer seminars. And I think there's other things we can do about making our seminars more useful rather than cutting them.
This is not a simplistic question with a simplistic answer, but you do need to think about the function of the course, what it's doing, how does it fit into the program. So the kind of thing Julie just said about the idea of interacting methodology, of course, you want that. You want courses that do that. Not all our courses do that. And certainly many of them are really exalted undergraduate courses. And those are the kind of things that you want to make sure. Now, again, you can't just say coursework. You have to look at where does it fit in the program. And getting back to what I said earlier, where does it fit into, if you look at the student as somebody who is going from an undergraduate understanding of materials to actually a knowledge producer, a researcher, what do they need along those stages? How much do they need in course, or can they learn a lot of that themselves? Will they be able to pick up something about 20th century British philosophy without a course in 20th century British philosophy, what they might find elsewhere?
Should I go ahead? Martha Smith Norris, the grad director in the Department of History at the University of Saskatchewan, where we have a large and thriving graduate program of about 70 students. More than half of those are PhD students. And what we did a few years ago was to restructure our program in the PhD program so that we got rid of all of our coursework, so that our students go right into the PhD comprehensive fields when they start September 1st. That was a way of making the program much more efficient, faster completion times, and they still have the benefit of meeting with one another because they meet together every couple of weeks to discuss the comp fields. They do write-ups, and so they still have that kind of discussion seminar experience, but yet it's much more efficient. And it means that they're ready to write their three comprehensive fields by the October of the second year, which are scheduled for one week for the three comprehensive exams, and then they follow that with an oral, their oral comprehensive, which means we also don't have the problem that you mentioned before about people being off track in terms of their overall programs.
Interesting. You can see there's lots of models. That's why it helps to look and talk to each other about, you know, whatever models you have. It's useful to talk and see there may be other things that you think about. I also think we should talk amongst our other disciplines, because a lot of the things that go on in the sciences are useful for us to learn, and vice versa, in terms of the way they organize their programs. Yes, they're very different kind of knowledge, very different kind of skills you need to do the knowledge, but some of the program design isn't that different.
We have time for one more question or comment.
Hi, I just wanted to respond to the issue of internships, because that's something that has come up quite a bit. I'm Nandi Bhatia. I'm from the University of Western Ontario. I'm the Associate Dean of Research and Graduate Studies. So I wanted to say, I know this is a question that has come up. It came up at the Toronto conference as well. But it's tricky because I think we have to think of international students. We have to bring them into the equation. When it comes to the question of internships, I don't think international students are funded, especially because it's related to work and it creates a two-tier system. So how policies, other kinds of policies mediate this kind of alternative model is something to think about as well. Thanks.
Sorry, it was hard for us to hear some of that. The alternative models for?
Well, for internships.
Oh, internships. Okay.
Yeah, internships.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So international students are not allowed. They are not paid, because if they are off-campus internships, then it creates a two-tier model.
Oh, okay.
And that's something one needs to think about.
So this was an issue we thought a lot about. And the model that we're proposing with the help of the grad school is that internships would be paid internships a lot of the time. The paid internships would be paid into the program. All of our students, we don't have PhD students at Georgetown who don't receive full support. So everybody gets, you might not be able to live on it, but about a $25,000 stipend and full tuition, right? So the internships would feed into the stipends, and the internships would be a three-credit course, basically. I don't know, does that answer your question? I mean, that's the way we were thinking about this working. We also imagined, you know, in speaking about courses, some of it is not so much, you know, getting rid of a lot of courses, but kind of changing the nature of the courses. So one of the sort of ongoing pro seminars that we want to run is basically an internship support pro seminar. Georgetown's a Jesuit education, so all we do is sit around and reflect a lot. A seminar that would encourage that kind of reflection on the internships.
Let me say something.
Let me interrupt, because we're going to take a few-minute break and come back with Lynn McAlpine and Susan Cake to talk about people. But I want to thank you, Marty and Catherine, for this. We'll be back in a minute.